Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadyen, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 513, I'm welcoming to the show Elizabeth of Emotionally Healthy Legacy.
If Jesus came alongside you right now and he sat down on the couch next to you, is he going to shame you for all those times that you mess up as a mom? Or is he going to give you a hug and say, you were going through a lot of hard things at that time, and that makes sense, and I forgive you. And now moving forward, you know different things, you know different tools, you can lean more on me and you can do things differently.
Elizabeth is a mom of four, a wife, a podcast host, and an anger management coach for Christian moms. Based on her own journey, working through her anger in parenting, she now has taken what she's learned and she's applying it through one-on-one coaching and groups. And her goal is to help you reduce mental stress and overwhelm so you can respond with patience and calm. She wants to help you become the mom God has called you to be without feeling all that shame and remorse for your angry reactions. I know that I can relate to a lot of what Elizabeth shared and what she gives us, the practical tips and the help I have found myself sharing with other people since I've heard her talk about it. And I think it's good for all of us in our culture to apply what she's sharing. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Elizabeth, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
Well, you have been helping moms in a very specific area that I realized I've not done an episode on in a long time, because sometimes I can be real selfish with the show and focus on what I'm struggling with. And I'm just out of that season of, I don't know, anger, being triggered constantly by chaos. And so I realized, wait, we need to have someone come on the show and help moms who are struggling through that and give them the support and the tools. So you have a whole anger management coaching business for Christian moms. And so I'd love for you to, first of all, introduce yourself, your family, and then kind of tell us how you got into that.
Yes. So my name is Elizabeth Andrzejewski. I help Christian moms break free from explosive anger and empowering them to intentionally respond with kind words and actions that cultivate a peaceful home. So I coach moms through, usually in a coaching program, but I also have a podcast called Emotionally Healthy Legacy. So I'm a mom of four kids myself. My oldest is 13. I have three boys, and then a 10-year-old boy, a 7-year-old boy, and a 3.5-year-old girl. We just talked about before we recorded how much boys eat, and it's no joke. My boys want to eat all the time. And so I got in this coaching industry because of my own struggles with anger. I had three boys at that time. I felt very outnumbered. And so this was about 5 years ago. And right around when COVID started, there was just a lot of stress. And I felt very reactive in parenting. I felt like I was constantly putting out fires all day long with my boys. And I was just being more rough with them and intense and raising my voice and feeling just constantly frustrated all day long. And it didn't take much for me to go over the edge with them and even like spank in anger. And I really did not like the way I was showing up as a mom. And I shared with one of my mentors, and she suggested for me to go to parenting counseling. It was not faith-based, but it really helped me understand about emotions and how feelings work in our mind and how that shows up in our body, creating emotional connection with my kids. I just had a really hard time going home and then implementing the tools that I learned, you know, in my sessions in the heat of the moment. It's like I know all these things in theory, what to do. And then the moment comes and I feel so triggered and frustrated. Everything I know just goes out the window and I react in my old ways and then filled with remorse and shame and guilt at the way I was showing up as a mom. And maybe about several months after I started the counseling sessions, I came across another podcaster that had a course that she was selling. It was about motherhood, and it was about prioritizing your days and your time and taking care about yourself as a mom. And I ended up, it was my first course that I ever bought. And it was like a new thing, probably, I would say 5 years ago, it wasn't as common as it is now, right? The courses. And I did buy that course and I started to implement tools proactively to support myself, to support my physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being, and spiritual well-being proactively, not waiting until I'm feeling triggered and angry. And what I noticed is that that increased my emotional capacity and expanded the way that I was able to show up. I just didn't feel as triggered by my kids. I was actually able to start implementing the things that I was learning in counseling in the moment because I just had more capacity instead of just running an empty constantly and feeling reactive. And so one, I'm the type of person that if I learn something and it helps me, I'm like, I just cannot keep it to myself. I have to tell everybody about it. So I would tell my friends about it. And then I got to a point where I told all my friends and everybody already knows, and I'm just repeating myself. And I'm like, well, why don't I just start a podcast? And so, you know, if somebody wants to listen, they can just listen. And that's what I did. And I called it Emotionally Healthy Legacy, Leaving an Emotionally Healthy Legacy for Your Kids. And that's kind of how everything started. And that was my journey.
So did you grow up in a home where anger was used as a management tool? Like not anger management the way we're talking about it today, but a parent being using anger to kind of get control?
So my mom is a very loving, patient, loving, compassionate person. Okay. My dad struggled with being short-tempered, and the only way he knew how to parent was with threatening and spanking, because that's the way that he was taught. Yeah. And so if something wasn't going the way that he wanted to go, he would threaten spanking and then he would spank us. And I developed a lot of the tendencies from my dad. So I have a lot of similarities with my mom, but when it comes to like parenting and feeling easily frustrated, wanting things my way, I got a lot of that from my dad. And so that's kind of like how my background, even though I grew up in a conservative Christian kind of legalistic background. And so the kids were taught to be, you were taught to be really strict with your kids and things, it's my way or the highway pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so I would say my dad struggled with anger. My mom didn't really have that issue. And I developed the tendencies from my dad.
I know that probably helps someone else who's listening, who's like, man, I told myself I wouldn't be like my parents. I wouldn't use those same tactics with my kids. And it's helpful to hear like that's true for you and that you even worked through the season when you were doing the thing you said you wouldn't maybe do. You said that your capacity increased and that's what helped you not be as triggered. And I'm curious if we could talk through that concept. Like, what are some of the things that contribute to moms getting easily angered and overreactive? Like, talk to us about that increasing of capacity, because I'm sure mom's like, yes, I would love to not be easily triggered.
Yes. So I will touch on a lot of those today. And I also have a free training for anybody that wants to go a little bit deeper. It's called How to 10X Your Emotional Capacity Levels as a Mom. And we can put that
10X.
Yes.
10X your emotional capacity.
And it's all the things that I've learned that allowed me to increase my emotional capacity levels. So as Christians, as believers, spending time with God is really important. Though when I was growing up, honestly, that was a little bit over-spiritualized. And it was like, you spend time with God and then everything else is going to be fine. And what I have found that a lot of the practical things, they were just kind of pushed off aside. And for moms, when it comes to increasing your capacity, sometimes it is the practical things that actually are really helpful. It's spending time with the Lord is important. And we also need to balance it out with some of the practical things, such as meeting your basic needs.
Like drinking a glass of water.
Water, hydrating, eating meals. Like there's a thing, hangry, it's a term. Why? Because we feel more on edge and frustrated when our blood sugar is low, when we're not eating. And sometimes we take care of like our kids all day long and it's 2 p.m. and we're snapping and yelling at our kids. And if we pause and reflect, it's like, what do I need right now? Oh, I never had breakfast or lunch.
Or I just grabbed whatever was left over from their plate. I remember those days. Or like, what's a quick way to get a boost? It's some sugary thing that's on the counter or leftover, you know, from Easter or Christmas or, you know, yes, like some thing that will give me a quick boost, but then I have the crash. Yeah, totally. That's so real. Yeah.
Yeah. So unmet basic needs, lack of sleep. That's another one.
That's hard to improve when you're in those years with little kids. You're at everyone's mercy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can. And sometimes you're in a season with, you know, babies, and that's totally understandable. And sometimes it's our own fault because we're scrolling on our phones late at night, going through social media. So, you know, we work on that in our.
And it was an issue before we had scrolling.
Yes.
I will just attest as the old mom in the room, like it was maybe staying up and watching a show on TV, or it was being on my computer, because you're so longing for time, uninterrupted time to just numb out. And it's, you've been so craving it that you finally get it. And then you overindulge. It becomes its own, not addiction, but its own place of like, there's an actual need there. But instead of meeting the need, I'm just numbing the need with mindless activities. And the phone just makes it easy to do it right in bed.
Yes, it sure does. It sure does. And so unmet basic needs.
Yeah.
Another one is just being depleted, not taking care of yourself and just running an empty, constantly giving, 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 giving. And that is so common as moms. We do that a lot. And we also need to pause sometimes and say, it's not that I'm more important than everybody else. It's that I am important too. I matter too. God created me. I'm the daughter of the King. And it's also important to take care of me. And it's alone time, like you mentioned. Sometimes we need that alone time. I'm an introvert. I need alone time daily, not like once a week, daily, in order to be the best mom for my kids and to have the capacity that I need to show up as my best self.
So when for you as an introvert, the introvert listening, she's like, yeah, I need alone time every day. How do you make that happen?
Yeah. So for me personally, I'm in a season where my kids do sleep through the night. So I just want to, you know, point that out. Getting up in the morning before my family, an hour before my family, sometimes a little bit more depending if it's the weekend. But that is one of the times when you have little kids, quiet time in the afternoon is a must. I've had mamas that I've talked to that have toddlers. They're like, oh yeah, my toddlers don't nap anymore. They're just playing all day. I'm like, what? We have quiet time all the time in the afternoon. Like my toddler doesn't nap anymore, but there's still quiet time.
What, even at camp, when they go to camp and they're in elementary school, they have flat on back time where every camper is required to lay on their, they don't have to sleep, but you have to have a break because everybody needs a break.
Yes. Like I need a break. Maybe my kids feel like they don't, but I need a break. So like on Sunday afternoons, we'll come home, we'll have lunch, and then it's quiet time. It's like an hour and a half of quiet time in our house. So, and during the week, I stay home with my daughter. So there's quiet time in the afternoons. Sometimes it's earlier bedtime and asking my husband to put the kids to sleep so then I can have some time to myself. I know screens are not ideal, but honestly, sometimes it's helpful to use that when you're having a rough day, you feel really depleted, and having an hour of screen time allows you as a mom to have some quiet so there isn't so much stimulation and all the noise and all the take, take, take. When I lived in Minnesota, so right now I'm in Florida, but in Minnesota, I had a gym membership where it gave me 2.5 hours of childcare per day. And I remember in the summers, I would go there and I had 3 boys with me and I would go there Monday through Friday and I would go there and I'd have them in there for 2.5 hours. And they had, there was Lifetime Fitness, but they also had a cafe that I could sit there and read a book, read the Bible, journal, and to just have some time to myself. You don't always have to go and work out, right? You can have a little bit of time to yourself. So if that's an option.
And my tip for that, when I had a season of littles, I would go to the Lifetime Fitness. So we did the nap time. and a little snack, and we went then. You know when everyone talks about the bewitching hour?
Mm-hmm.
The lovely Lifetime workers got the bewitching hour, and I got it. That's not normally when you think to go to the gym, but what's great, you know, it's like before everyone's off work, so the machines aren't full.
Mm-hmm.
Childcare is not super full because nobody's taking their kids then. Anyway, that was my little tip to kind of like get me a little boost to get through dinner and bedtime, especially if my husband was traveling that season. So,
yeah. So my husband was a flight attendant at that time. So that's why, yep. Like, he was gone a lot and it was just me and the kids. And I really needed, that was my lifeline in the sense, yep. Like it was my support system.
Yeah, don't mom alone. Use the Lifetime.
Yes, use Lifetime workers. Yes, yeah. Or even like swapping with a friend. I've done a couple days a week where I would swap childcare with a friend. I would watch her toddlers for a little bit and then she would watch my kids for a little bit. And that gave me a couple hours of during the week just for myself to do something to decompress. I mean, if you can outsource and hire a sitter, I know that's not an option for everybody, but also one of the things I do like to have some quiet time is when we drive in the car. We don't have any screens in the car. I know we purposely did not get a car that has devices. I personally did not want that just so there's less stimulation for my kids. But sometimes it's like we drive in the car and it's just absolute quiet. There's no noise. It's just quiet. I love that time to just pray, to connect with God, and just sometimes open the window, breathe the fresh air, depending on how cold it is where you are right now. Because I'm in Florida, it's pretty warm. But those are times that I love to use to just decompress for myself and recharge as an introvert.
It's good. All good. Helpful. What other things you got for capacity?
Yes. Okay. So the other one is processing unprocessed emotions. If we have suppressed feelings for a while, and sometimes it's childhood stuff that we need to go to therapy for and address, and sometimes it's just regular things with our husband and with our kids, with our friends. If we just suppress feelings instead of facing them and processing them in a healthy way, that depletes our capacity and we will feel a lot more triggered by our kids. For example, if you're grieving a loss, I remember when I was grieving my miscarriage, I definitely had way less capacity for my kids. It's just simple things, them climbing the counter. My toddler was climbing the counter and I told him to get down and he didn't. And then when he finally did, he flipped the bowl of oatmeal. It broke. And I completely lost it at him. And it was because literally it was like a week after I had a miscarriage and I was still grieving all those big feelings and I was still in the process of processing them and I wasn't done yet. And so unprocessed emotions will definitely contribute to you having lower capacity with your kids.
And do you think in that it's giving yourself grace that may be why? Instead of being like, what's wrong with me? Why? I thought I was done with this anger thing. And it's like, oh, there's more going on here. That needs attention. Kind of yes. Like when our cars start smoking, like out of the hood of the car, there's smoke coming out that, oh, this car needs attention. Like warning sign. That seeing anger is a warning sign of other emotions going on.
Yes. Anger is a messenger. It's telling you something. So when I work with my clients, when they feel angry, I have them ask this question. I wonder what's going on. Mm-hmm. Instead of what's wrong with me, I wonder what's going on with
more
me.
Compassionate.
Like, what is underneath this anger? What is this anger trying to tell me? It's telling you something. Mm-hmm. Something is going on and your job is to be curious, because when you're curious, you have compassion and understanding instead of like more judgment on yourself and more shame. Mm. And so, yeah, understanding what's going on, we work through that constantly. And if moms are interested, you can check out my podcast. I have so many episodes sharing on what is underneath anger and how to address those issues. So then you're not taking it out on your family and on your loved ones in destructive ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting curious. So good.
There's a couple others that can increase our capacity. So negative mindset.
And I talked about that, right?
Yes, anybody struggle with that negative, automatic negative thoughts, they just come in. And if we just stick with it, with the negative thoughts, it will produce negative feelings and negative actions, right? And so having negative mindset, negative perspectives, that is also going to reduce your capacity. It like drains you. Mm-hmm. It drains you. And the Bible talks about like being around people that are complaining and negative. It's just so unpleasant. Like a husband doesn't want to be around a wife that's complaining and negative. And so when we're like that, it drains us emotionally massively.
Yeah. But that takes work, y'all. You got to capture the negative thought before it becomes the emotion and the action.
Yes.
It's 12 step. Get it.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Physical mess. Anybody? When the house feels messy, that feels really triggering. And that will also reduce your emotional capacity because that creates stress in our mind. Mm-hmm. Just the physical clutter. And I know when you have little kids, it's a little bit harder to keep the house more tidy. But what has helped me is to just have less stuff.
Yeah.
And I know there's experts that teach on decluttering and all the things, but just having less things in the house, there's just less to clean up and less to manage. And then the house doesn't feel as triggering and as overwhelming. And then that will allow you to have more emotional capacity as well.
Yeah.
And then we have also unmet expectations.
Totally.
Yes, unmet expectations of our husband or unmet expectations of circumstances, unmet expectations of our kids. Sometimes it's unrealistic expectations. My 10-month-old should sleep through the night. Well, what happens when they don't? We start feeling really frustrated and resentful and bitter, and that creates more anger. And that then you have less capacity for your other kids because you have that expectation that's unrealistic versus it is normal for a 10-month-old not to sleep through the night. And I'm just expecting them to wake up and I expect myself to take care of the baby. Then you just adjust your mindset to the reality, what it is, instead of fighting with it. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to feel more calmer throughout the day with other things that are not going your way as well.
And I think the more time, if you have isolated yourself as a mom, because this can happen. I know this happened for me in a season of motherhood. All your capacity is low. You have lots of young children. You don't want to be with other moms and other kids because you know your capacity is low and you're going to flip out in front of other people. So you're isolating. Mm-hmm. So the amount of female friendships you have or people that you're real honest about what's going on with your kids decreases. And then you aren't even hearing other moms say, oh yeah, that happens with me too. My 2-year-old does that too. You don't know what normal development is or what normal sibling rivalry looks like. Just giving yourself the grace that, oh, maybe I am expecting more out of my kids than is realistic or myself. Yeah.
Yes, especially like developmentally, just like you said, I had a client who had a toddler and she was just expecting the toddler to manage her own emotions well when the mom is having a hard time and then feeling really frustrated when that toddler is having a meltdown versus, hey, this is normal for a 2-year-old. She has no idea how to express feelings. It's a big feeling. And I can teach her how. I can model and I can teach her. When we have that perspective, there's just so much more calm that comes into the circumstances instead of that frustration. I need her to do things this and this and this way, which leads into control.
Yeah.
And I shared it's a little bit different when you have older kids and then versus when you have, younger and toddler kids. But I remember feeling a lot of anger and frustration with my oldest son with potty training. So my mom, I grew up in Latvia. That's where I was born. And my parents had for at least 4 kids cloth diapers. And so my mom had to hand wash all the diapers. So she said, by the time you guys were all 1, I already had you all potty trained.
Wow.
At 6 months old.
To save her life. Yeah.
Yes. At 6 months old, she's like, I would put you on the potty. I would put you over the sink to teach you how to go potty. And so by 1, you would communicate with me. So I thought, you know what? you know, I'm a first time out. I'm going to make sure my first, you know, firstborn is potty trained by the time he is one. Well, I would try and he kept having accidents and I was feeling so angry and frustrated with him. And the truth was I had completely unrealistic expectations of a one-year-old because I didn't do it the way that my mom did it. I did it, tried it my way. And I just wanted things done a certain way. And I had this pressure on myself that I created all in my mind. And it created so much frustration and anger towards my son, which all was created in my mind, that I could just let go of that expectation, let go of that control because it was not serving me and creating frustration, resentment, and anger.
Totally. 100%. Can relate to all of it. Yeah. I mean, so much of, I think, the chaos of young boys. Maybe I haven't had four girls, so I can't speak to that. But I think young boys, a lot of them, aren't willing to be controlled by an outside force. They have their own ideas. And so it can feel like you're bumping up against your lack of control really early when you have little boys, I've found. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And there are some girls that are pretty strong. You know, they used to say strong-willed kids, right? I just think mm-hmm. it was like kids who really know what they're doing, right? They've already decided. They know the best way to go. Mm-hmm. And it can be challenging to get everyone moving in the same direction. And even if you're not like, I need it to be a certain way. I don't care what your dress, what clothes you have on, if your shoes go on in the house or in the car. Sometimes it's like, I just need everyone to move towards the car so that we can somewhat arrive on time. Because to me, like, I found a lot of anger when they were little was getting ready to get out of the house.
That's huge.
Transitioning, yeah. Right? Or getting ready to leave a place. All of those transition points required so much coordinating and getting everyone on board that this is a good idea. With a variety of personalities, now that I know them even better, was challenging. And the anger would also come too in those little years because I cared so much what people think. Mm. You know, we're going to be late and they're going to think X, Y, and Z. Well, eventually I got rid of that. Let them think that we're a mess. We kind of are. It's fine.
Can I just add to that?
Yes, something
that
please.
I have a lot of clients that have that problem, and so do I. Like, I mean, yeah. I have little kids trying to get out the door, and something that's been super helpful for me is to, like, you know, that frustration rising, and you're like looking at the time, and the kids are not ready, and you're like, you know that you're going to be late already. Like, you know.
Totally.
And so I pause and I tell myself, how I handle this is more important than us getting there on time. Because unless you're like the plane is leaving, you know, without
yeah, right,
you,
right, right.
The
yeah.
truth is most of the things
are not emergencies.
You show up a few minutes late and I tell myself how I handle this moment is more important than me getting there in time. Because overall, like when my kids are out of the house, they're not going to remember all the little things, right? But they're going to remember how it felt in our home.
Yep.
And I want them to know that Mom was able to like slow down when she needed to instead of constantly rushing and get down on their level. It's like, I know you're having a hard time right now. How can I help you? Instead of get your butt in the car, let's go. We're going to be late. And, you know, that's what I experienced as a kid. And many of us did too. And there's a time and a place for that. But overall, how you handle that certain moment is more important than you getting there exactly on time. And it's okay. People are going to think whatever they're going to think. You can't control what they think anyways. And even if you get there on time, someone else is going to have something to say about that. So just let it go.
They're all going to have something to say about something. What do we say to the mom who's hearing all this and feeling guilt and shame? Like, how did you work through your own once you recognized how to increase your capacity? And you're reflecting back and you're like, oh, shoot, I spent all those years or that year, whatever it was, being that way. Mm-hmm. Is it too late for me? I can imagine a mom who's like, well, I ruined that. My kids are all high schoolers and there's no chance for me.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I can relate with that feeling like regret for the years that I did have with my kids when I handled them portaling that in the way that is aligned with who I want to be and who God is calling me to be. And what is helpful for me is having compassion towards myself. I did the best that I could at the time with what I knew and the tools that I had and the resources that I had. I did the best that I could. And now that I learned new tools and I know how to do things differently, I can do things better moving forward. So having compassion, that is very helpful. And also like asking yourself, I wonder what was going on that I reacted in that way. There's always a reason why you react in anger. Just like I mentioned that time with when I was grieving and I reacted in anger towards my kids, something was going on underneath that. So if I reflect on that season and say, oh, that makes sense. That's because I was dealing with XYZ. I was going through a really hard season with my husband in marriage. That makes sense. I lost a mom during that season. That makes sense. Yeah. You know, we were really in a hard financial state at that time. There was a lot of stressors. That makes sense. And you're able to have more compassion and understanding. And just think about like if Jesus came alongside you right now and he sat down on the couch next to you, is he going to shame you for all those times that you mess up as a mom? Or is he going to give you a hug and say, you were going through a lot of hard things at that time, and that makes sense. And I forgive you. And now moving forward, you know different things, you know different tools, like you can lean more on me and you can do things differently. That's how I see when it comes to reflecting on shame and guilt is a little bit different. It's like we know we did something wrong and we need to make changes, but shame is an attack on self. Like, I'm wrong. Something's wrong with me. I'm a terrible mom. It's like, no, you were doing your best to your mental and emotional capacity at that time.
Yeah. And I even came to my mind because I totally can connect to like if things are hard financially, then every little thing with your kids that could possibly cost money, like something breaks or, you know, can be triggering to the stressor of the money. But I want to also say, like, you know, there's a demographic too where anger is still possible with a lot of wealth because there's a lot of pressure to be a certain way and to appear a certain way. And so if you're that mom listening, like, I get it too. Like, there's a pressure on both ends, pressure across the board, but being curious about the, I wonder what's going on, and compassion about yourself. About that is great advice. You talked about, and I totally agree, like if it's the increased capacity that allows us to not be triggered in the moment, but we still do get those intense emotions that come up. And even with increased capacity, we need tools on processing them live in the moment. So we don't react in our response. So how do we do that? How do we do that in a healthy way?
Yes. So the first thing is to acknowledge what I feel. Mm-hmm. I feel frustrated. And I want to point out that I say I feel instead of I am. Because I am is like you're saying this is who I am as a person versus I feel, because you can do something about a feeling. Feelings come and go. Yep. So I feel frustrated. I feel angry. I feel overstimulated. I feel stressed because of X, Y, Z. So communicating that with even your kids. I tell my kids when I feel frustrated, I say, I feel frustrated because we're running late. I feel frustrated because the house is messy and I need your help to clean up the house. And or I tell my husband, I feel overstimulated right now and I need a little bit of time to myself. Can I go to my room and just have 5 minutes to myself? So acknowledging what I feel and what I need in that moment. So that is kind of like communicating with those people that are close to you. Like, I feel blank and I need blank. So that is really helpful.
And that requires you doing the work of being aware of your feelings.
Yes. Yes.
Recognizing. Which moms often are like super aware of their kids' emotional state. Mm-hmm. Very unaware of their own.
Yes, because our feelings, it's not just like all of a sudden you're feeling rage. It's like you're feeling a little bit annoyed, then you're starting to feel frustrated, then you're feeling angry, and then it's rage and you feel completely out of control. So being able to catch yourself like, I'm starting to feel really annoyed and frustrated, and this is what I need to help myself feel better. Yeah. And so one of my favorite ways to feel emotions is to move my body. And if it's possible, I know sometimes it's chilly where we live, and if it's not like raining and super windy, but even bundle up. And if like, if your kids are old enough to stay at home by themselves and turn a movie on for them, go for a walk for 10, 15 minutes. If your spouse is home, say, hey, can you please watch the kids for a little bit? I need to go for a walk. Even when I have like a disagreement with my husband and I feel frustrated and angry in a disagreement, say, I need to go cool off. I need to go for a walk so I don't say something that I will regret later. And so emotions move through motion. And that's a really great way to process and release emotions. When I do go for a walk, one of the things I do is pray. That is huge. It's like talking to a friend, and you can say whatever you want. And God is not judging you. You can say, hey, I feel this and this because of this and this. And my husband said this and the kids said this. I literally just like verbally process and I tell God everything that's going on. And then sometimes I even cry, right? Crying is a really great way to release the emotions out of your body instead of suppressing them. A good cry can go a long way. The circumstances don't change oftentimes, but it's just you crying and releasing that emotion. Just your body just feels better instead of holding up all that tension inside of you.
The people who listen to this show know that I do a little bit too much crying.
Yes.
You're lucky the guest I interviewed earlier today got to see me crying from the get-go before we even hit record. So that was good. So I'm feeling great now.
Yeah.
Crying's all out. No, that's good to hear. Crying is helpful.
Yes, it's good for you.
Releases stress.
And then one of my other favorite ones is journaling. I love journaling when, especially when I go through something like a harder season, when things feel really kind of frustrating. It's a bunch of little things that are piling up. Just writing everything in a journal instead of keeping it all in your mind, just like you're talking to a friend. You're like, hey, this and this is going on in my life, and this feels hard, and this feels frustrating, and I tried this, and it's not working out, and everything is just piling up, and just getting it out of your mind and on paper. Oftentimes my journaling entries just turn into prayers at the end. And it's like, God, show me what is in my control that I can do something about instead of just feeling completely hopeless. Because there's like 10 things on this list. Show me one thing that I can take some action on that is in my control that I can do something about. And so that's another way for me to process emotions. And I do that actually regularly so they don't build up to the point where it's like, oh my goodness, and it's exploding. Mm-hmm. I regularly journal. I regularly tell God what's going on in my days and in my life. So then it's not just waiting for that moment where everything is hard and it's exploding. And the last one, probably talking to a friend, a safe person, that can just go such a long way. Having a mentor or just a godly friend in your life that can pray over you and that you can just share hard, difficult things that are in your life right now that feel hard, and it's a safe place that it's not going to go anywhere. And I know not a lot of us have friends like that, and we can pray. We can pray for God to send us a friend. And until that friend is there, God is your friend. And you can come to God and pray to him and share with him everything that is going on. And those are some practical things that we can do to process and release those emotions so they're not inside of us. And then we reach that capacity and we explode in our family.
What if you just had an explosion just before you listened to this podcast? What should the mom do next?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you one thing. You're a good mom who had a hard moment. Mm. You're a great mom. You're doing a great job. You just had a hard moment. I personally cannot apologize when I'm feeling really angry. It's not genuine. I have to calm down before I can genuinely apologize and see my perspective.
It's also true for our kids.
Yes, no. True for our kids too.
Don't force the apology.
I don't force my kids to apologize because it's not genuine.
Yeah.
once they calm down, they're able to kind of like their thinking brain turns back on. They're like, oh, okay, I can now realize what I did and what was wrong and what was my role. And so being able to, once you kind of like calm down, you're like, okay, I wonder what happened that I exploded my kids. Being curious again, I wonder what happened. And then you're able to see what was the root of that. Maybe it was the stress. Maybe it was a bunch of little things. Maybe it's some unmet needs. And then you come to your kids. Well, first of all, you pray and say, God, I'm so sorry that I yelled at my family. I'm so sorry I exploded and I said and did hurtful things. I know that's not what you meant for me and for my motherhood. I'm so sorry. And you take ownership and responsibility for that. And then you come to your kids and you apologize. You say, I am sorry that I yelled at you. It's never your fault that I yelled. Like, my emotions and my actions are my responsibility. You cannot blame it on your kids, because your kids are not responsible for your emotions and actions. You are responsible. So taking responsibility, I'm so sorry that I yelled. That was wrong. That was sinful. Please forgive me. Or would you please forgive me? And then I always add, it's like, what are you going to do differently next time? Mm-hmm. Next time, I will do X, Y, Z. Next time, I will recognize when I'm getting angry beforehand and say, I feel really upset. I need to take a break, instead of exploding. Or like communicating, what are you going to do next time? Next time, I will ask Daddy for help, for him to step in when I feel this upset. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it? What are you going to do differently next time when you feel really frustrated and you're feeling escalated?
Very helpful. And I want to, you know, for moms who, maybe it's not anger isn't, you've already, I mean, if anger is not your thing, you may not have listened this long. Mm-hmm. But I think it can be true of moms who are experiencing extreme sad emotions, extreme fear. All of these tips work for any of our emotions that have gone extreme in our hearts and minds. And mm-hmm. so processing them well, working through them, recognizing them, expressing your needs can be true for anything that you're working through. And sometimes it shows up as anger, and sometimes it shows up as other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth, so much for being with us today. Y'all, we've linked to all of her things, the podcast and the, do you take one-on-one clients?
Coaching clients?
Okay.
I have a coaching program. I do. It's a group coaching program. Okay. It's 12 weeks long. It's called Calm Christian Mom. And it's specifically for Christian moms that struggle with out of control anger. And so we have weekly group coaching calls. You also get 3 one-on-one calls. You have Monday through Friday direct access to me through Voxer. And then you have trainings that have reflection questions. So you have like daily videos and homework assignments, and you submit them to me. That's how I keep you accountable. So yes, it's going really great. I have moms in there that are doing really good and coming in completely feeling out of control and leaving in a completely different mental and emotional state. So God can do miracles in your life too.
Well, that is great news, and the impact, the legacy on families, the amount of prayer work I've done with women who've come from homes where anger was prevalent. You're doing holy work, and the ripple effect of that you may never see, but thank you for what you're doing and for being with us today. Super, super, super good information. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Okay, I hope you are inspired and encouraged, and you are giving yourself compassion. You are going to have that curious observer stance and pay attention to when you're triggered. You're going to consider, write down. I was thinking about how we're made with our body and our soul and our spirit, and how each of those areas we could increase capacity. With your body, it could be the sleep part or drinking water or, you know, going on a walk, movement, with your soul, which is often your thoughts and your emotions and your will. You're going to maybe need to, maybe it is seeing a counselor, maybe it is meeting with a group and processing more of your past that's kind of coming to the surface in this stage of parenting. And then with your spirit, like, what kind of things you need to add back in, spiritual habits, maybe it's worship or prayer or time in God's word, whatever it is, to increase that capacity. And if you're doing all those things and you're like, still, oh my gosh, I have these extreme emotions, pay attention. Is it consistently happening with a certain situation? And if you really need support, I would definitely reach out to Elizabeth. Sounds like she has a great system in place and is helping lots and lots and lots of moms. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you that you did give us emotions and that they are indicators, but they do not get to be the boss. And I pray, Lord, that empowered by your Spirit through grace and not shame, that we can get the help and the healing that we need to be the kind of moms we want to be, that peace and calm would radiate through us. And even on the days that don't go so great, that we would repair and restore relationship, that we would come to you instead of hiding in shame, that we would have community and people to walk alongside us to help us in that. So Lord, I thank you and praise you for Elizabeth and her work and ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all. Next week, I am back with another super practical guest. I'm going to have a gal, Eve is her name, come join us. She is actually British, and you know how I love a good accent, and she's going to help us with sleep. I'm talking to you moms of babies, infants, toddlers. You need sleep. So if you have moms, mom friends, maybe your daughter-in-law who has a that might be awkward if it's your daughter-in-law. If you know someone who has a baby or toddler and has mentioned that they're struggling to get them to sleep, they are going to need to check out this episode next week with Eve. So meet me back here. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.